Hi, this is Jill Murphy from Pharmacy Times, and you're listening to Pharmacy Focus. The Pharmacy Times Pharmacy Focus podcast provides the latest industry news and information, thought leader insights, clinical updates, patient counseling tools, and innovative solutions for the everyday practice and business of pharmacy. Before we begin with this week's episode, do you know what illness they were trying to treat when Robert Louis Stevenson took cocaine to write Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? We will reveal the answer at the end of the episode. In this week's episode, we will be discussing regulation and legislation surrounding COVID-19 vaccine mandates with Principal of Lanton Law, Ron Lanton, and Pharmacist Attorney Ned Milankovich. From a federal agency standpoint, Milankovich discussed how the Department of Health and Human Services were the most recent to make an announcement, following other agencies across the country.
They have over 25,000 frontline health workers, and that's the third agency to make such an announcement recently as a result of the newly formed Delta variant. So last month, the Department of Veterans Affairs became the first federal agency to mandate those vaccines, requiring the shots for over 110,000 frontline healthcare workers at the VA. And the Department of Defense followed suit with Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin telling troops in a memo that they must be vaccinated no later than mid-September, I think was the deadline. And we've been hearing various things from the federal government, from different sources. Secretary Becerra announced just last week that workers at the National Institutes of Health, as well as the Indian Health Services, who treat or come in contact, workers that treat or come in contact with patients will be required to take the vaccines. We've heard from Surgeon General Vivek Murthy that he will also require coronavirus shots for members of the Public Health Service Commission Corps. And the Commission Corps aims to protect, promote public health and provide healthcare to underserved areas and underserved communities. So we're hearing all kinds of things out there.
Lanton added that there are more and more people in the federal government mandating the vaccine to continue to reach the right level of herd immunity.
And one thing that I've noticed, at least another federal agency that's really been at the center of all this has been FDA. Because FDA has been getting all the vaccines out and trying to get people at least access to it so that we can try to tamp down the spread that we're seeing from state to state. There hasn't been any of this vaccine mandate that the FDA has put out at all, because that's not really their role. But I think the world may get a little harder for people that haven't been vaccinated yet. And we'll talk about some of the reasons why they may not be vaccinated, religious or ADA purposes or otherwise. But I think once the FDA puts out clearance or approval, formal approval for one of the vaccines, and I know that Pfizer has been at the lead of that, we're going to see if it comes to the other three, the Johnson & Johnson or Moderna. But it's almost like if they approve one of them and get these vaccines kind of out of this weird emergency authorization status that they're in, people may have a harder time saying, well, it hasn't been approved yet. So then if that happens, the next question is what normally might happen after that. And I think people that have these issues, like if it's a religious exemption or it's some kind of an ADA requirement, which are all valid.
As for major court decisions surrounding these mandates, Lanton said there are no legal cases about federal vaccination programs, which can be a good and bad thing.
I've had a lot of clients, different pharmacies anticipate lawsuits. Either their staff is thinking about a lawsuit or patients may sue. I mean, there's a lot of, questions about who can sue and what. There really hasn't been a legal case or any precedent that I've seen regarding federal vaccination programs. And I mean, I guess that's a good and a bad thing. I mean, we're in a 100 year pandemic, right? You know, last time it happened was 1917. There was something back in 1905, and it was Jacobson versus Massachusetts, and that had to do with smallpox. And it was, you know, because there was this mandate within Massachusetts, this actually happened in Cambridge. And there was a gentleman who I believe was from Sweden. And I guess this person had a bad experience with vaccinations and decided he was not going to do it. So they basically said that, yeah, that the Supreme Court upheld that and said, yeah, you know, this is, you don't have an absolute right. And basically, because the police power, a power that's within the Constitution, with the clause in there that talks about, you know, if there's an emergency or something going on like this, what are some of the limits and powers that a state has in order to try to rectify or calm, you know, an emergency? And in this case, it would be smallpox. So I think that that case is probably the closest precedent that we have to something legal.
We are taking a short break to celebrate the pharmacy heroes who work at Consonis Pharmacy in Las Vegas, Nevada. Although the team is small, they are in a unique position to help their patients because they work inside a skilled nursing facility. Director of Pharmacy Christine Pack said, "Every single one of us shows up every day to help our residents during these difficult times. Our team is small, but fierce." Pack added that the team exemplifies the facility's mission of helping seniors live the best rest of their lives. If you would like to nominate a pharmacist or pharmacy staff member as a pharmacy hero, email the address in our description with your nominee. Now back to the show. On a state level, Milankovic said that what is going on a federal level is also occurring in individual states.
Some states have made the decision to mandate vaccines for their workers, including their healthcare workers. States such as California, New York, Virginia, Hawaii, Oregon, Washington, all of them have implemented a variety of requirements. And keep in mind, these are state laws or state rules. They're not all going to be the same. You have to look at each individual state to see what they have done. And as before, even private employers, including Microsoft, by way of example, have issued their own vaccine mandates. On the flip side of that, not to be outdone, there are at least, I believe, last time I checked, Bron, and I'm not really sure, but last time I checked, there was 9 states that passed vaccine mandate bans of one sort or another. Arizona, Arkansas, Michigan, I believe, Montana, the great state of New Hampshire has invoked something. North Dakota, Ohio, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, and each of them, again, you know, we could go through each individual state and talk about, you know, what they've done, but each of them have done something to limit the vaccine mandate requirement.
In terms of how this affects healthcare providers and the requirement to get vaccinated as a healthcare professional, Lanton explained that it comes down to what does the state classify as a pharmacist and if they fit the mold for these mandates.
You know, we've been fighting for a long time, both on the state level and federal level, about whether or not pharmacists should be healthcare providers. And I think we've seen multiple articles on Pharmacy Times about why that's a good thing and, you know, how that's going to really reduce a lot of cost and just allow a more efficient system to happen if we allow pharmacies to practice at the top of their license. I think the question comes down to, what does a state classify a pharmacist as? So number one, are they classified as healthcare provider? Or are they classified as like healthcare personnel or something else? Because if there is a vaccine mandate that would come from a governor, what camp, I guess, does a pharmacist fit in? Now, I would think, you know, obviously you're facing the public all the time. You want to make sure that you're able to help your patients. So again, I guess it's really definition semantics about what it is. But I think, you know, if states have not passed legislation that talks about having a healthcare as an actual recognized provider, and we're living through a 100-year pandemic, this is really the time to do something about that. So I think it comes down to what are and what are you not considered as.
Did you figure out our fun fact of the week? The illness that Robert Louis Stevenson was trying to treat with prescribed cocaine was pulmonary hemorrhages. According to a JAMA article written in 1971, Stevenson was considered an invalid at the time that he wrote the novel, which has been long considered a metaphor for cocaine use. When he wrote the book, Stevenson was told by his physician to remain in bed, with strict instructions not to speak for fear of further upsetting his pulmonary hemorrhages. While confined to his room, Stevenson wrote Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in 6 days, without even stopping to eat or sleep. The article in JAMA noted that this level of intense productivity and the contents of the story suggests that Stevenson was exceptionally high while writing. Thanks for listening to Pharmacy Focus. Stay tuned for next episode, where we will be joined by another key opinion leader in the pharmacy space.